To bear or not to bear, that is thy question on this week's episode of COL. To help us answer this question, we have the lovely and talented ethical slut Alan join us. We also talk about the tragedy that has befallen Damon's precious Trololo, this week's Poll of the Week, and it's absolutely positively official, the hot jovial cub Jared is our mascot. So break out the water-based lube and condoms, COL 162 starts now. Sunday, June 3rd, 2012. I'm Jeff.
And me, not that kind of orc.
I'm Damon.
I'm Robert.
Thanks for noticing me.
And I'm Ben. Baby.
That boy ain't right.
There we go.
Keyboard isn't working. Anyways, welcome to Comes Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 162. And apparently I had a bad day last year. Apparently I just had a Twitter post saying, ah, punch his wall. Ouch.
Maybe that's why your keyboard's not working right.
No, that was last year. I use a service called Time Hop, which basically looks at this day last year.
This day in Twitter history.
And lists off your past Twitter and Facebook posts.
Interesting.
And I think it's supposed to also work with Foursquare too. It's pretty interesting. I get it like right away at the beginning of the day, and I get to look through and be like, oh yeah, I remember when I was doing that gay Pride Month movie challenge thing, and I had to rip my eyes out when I watched a couple of those movies, and I laughed hysterically at some other movies. And by the way, there's this movie called La Mission, which is fantastic. I strongly recommend it. Check it out. I think it's on Netflix streaming. That was my first movie I reviewed. You can go to jeffreyanderson.com, just jeffreyanderson.com, and look at those posts, because I haven't put anything up there since last year. So,
boy, that ought to be exciting. It'd be like looking into the past.
Yeah. We also recorded COL movies this week. Unfortunately, I forgot to change some things in Skype.
Speaking
of which, maybe I should check to see if I've got those changed. Yes, I do.
So in the meanwhile, Robert, how was your week?
My week was standard.
I love how he emphasized that. It was standard.
No, my week was boring, as usual. I have finally decided that I need to find a new job, and I've started looking again, which... Oh, God, you know, looking for a job in this economy is just, you know, I just might as well run face first into a brick wall. I think it'd be faster.
in a way, yes.
Yes. So, but I'm looking out of state, even doing everything I can to see if I can find something. So, you know, hopefully I can find something within the next 6 to 8 months. Otherwise, I'll just, you know, wait and give it time. But that was my week. So,
hey,
Damon. We want to go to Ben first and give you the...
No. Let's go to Damon.
Okay. Well,
sounds ominous.
I've had men's chorus rehearsal. Cincinnati. There we go. Cincinnati men's chorus rehearsal.
Yes.
And we actually had our retreat this weekend. I'm actually missing our last day of retreat to do this. So, well, it's
vacation.
Okay. It's no big deal. I went yesterday, all day yesterday, and on Friday night. And
at this point, you're sick of all these people.
Well, that's not it, Ben. it's honestly vocally tiring.
See, I was going to compare it to a bear run. When you go with a group of people, by that last day, you're just like, get the hell away from me.
In a sense, yeah. But but anyway, on Friday... This was the sigh. So at work, our system, our main system that we do everything on, was being upgraded. So they told us in advance that they were basically, it's not going to be available. And they were like, well, you can take a vacation day, or you can use a we have what, summer hours where you can work an extra hour each day and then take 4 hours off on one day of the week. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? No, fuck that. I'm going to come in and I'm not going to do anything.
And get paid.
And get paid to do it. You know, why should I waste a vacation day or a PTO day when I'm pretty much going to be doing the same thing anyway?
And how did they like that?
They were fine. They don't care. I mean, it was the big thing of don't care. Well, and I did do a few things. I did work.
You cleaned out the office refrigerator.
No, I'm actually moving down to the A floor, from the 9th floor to the A floor. So I packed up my office.
Okay, I'm sorry, but aren't you getting it backward? I thought the theme song was moving on up, not moving on down.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Anyway, shut up, Ben. Shut up, Ben.
That boy ain't right.
There we go.
Sorry, I'm a little slow sometimes.
Anyway. But packed the desk. I had a few things that I could do without using our system. And I spent the rest of the day reading Wikipedia articles and my Uncanny X-Men.net and and had lunch. And I mean, it was a sucky day because even though you're not doing anything, sitting in one place and you really can't go anywhere just really sucks.
It's called Pandora.
Oh, trust me. I had music going. I was, you know, reading. I was doing all this stuff. But after a while, it just gets grating because you're just like.
Hey, you're the one that didn't want to take a vacation or a PTO day. So you ain't got nobody to blame but yourself.
Actually, I guess.
You're like, but you really want to do stuff. So just listening to music doesn't really do anything.
Probably
one of the reasons why I'm not such a music fan is because if I go to bar just to listen to music or watch music at the live, I get bored.
Yeah.
You know, I need to be doing something.
So. I can watch like a performer like in a stage show singing and whatnot, because there's usually it's more than just them singing, but just listening to music. Especially like if I have like a my MP3 player or the music on my phone, because you know you've listened to the songs before, you know them all before, and no matter how many times, even if you shuffle it, you're still going to hear the same things. Pandora is good because yes, you can. It doesn't always fall into the same vein.
Most of the time, not even close.
Yeah. But
I've also learned too with Pandora too, the more specific songs and specific artists you add, you can actually get it a little closer tailored to what you really want.
True.
Although, you know what, honestly, with my iPod, everybody that's on Bruiser, Dave posted his criteria that he uses for his filters in iTunes. And I gotta say, I'm hearing stuff that I haven't heard in a long time. And it's actually, he posted it up there and it's really cool. And he uses a bunch of filters and it takes about 20 minutes to set up. But it's honestly, it pulls up a lot of stuff that you haven't heard in a long time.
Well, so, when you have 120 gig worth of music like I do, that might be a good idea.
About 40. Yeah. But anyway, so
Ben.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, this was a very emotional week for me, and I give Damon so much credit for being so strong this week, but we'll talk more about that later. Yeah, I know. It's coming up very, very soon. Actually, my week hasn't been too bad. I do have a job interview Tuesday.
Hey.
Finally. It's taken a year. I have been unemployed officially 1 year today.
Wow.
And
I've been busy during that time, so it's
I've found other things to keep me entertained, like school and working, doing computer repair on the side. But I actually know some people that work for this company, including somebody I went to school with, and they've told me that if I can, you know, first of all, they've told me if they call you, that's already 50% of the way there towards a job, and that if I can pass the skills test on Tuesday, I have a job. Well, the skills test requires me to be able to type 35 words a minute with 90% accuracy. Hell, I timed myself again today. I typed 93 words a minute with 97% accuracy. So
wow.
Yeah, what it is, it's actually going to be doing a captioning service for the deaf. The nice thing is I don't actually have to translate anything. I am there if the computer either can't decipher or screws it up or misspells something.
Huh. Right.
My goal is basically just correct what the computer fucks up.
Hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't pay that great. I mean, it's $10 an hour, but hell, when you're unemployed, $10 an hour is awfully nice.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's a good increase.
Yeah, well, I mean, and they actually offer some pretty decent benefits and
awesome.
Well, it's a nonprofit, so they can afford to do it and not get hit for the penalties and taxes and everything else. So
cool.
So I'm kind of crossing my fingers and hoping that happens because I'll probably work full time during the summer, and then when school starts back for me full time in the fall, I'll go part time. But the nice thing is they said that I can do my part time schedule literally in 2 days. I can work 12 hours. Saturday and Sunday, and I would still have 5 days off during the week to take care of school. So I'm okay with that.
Awesome. That sounds really great, Ben. Sorry, it really does. So
I hope so. I really need this. And the nice thing is, I've actually been applying with this company every night, and I kid you not, every 90 days for the last 2.5 years, because this is one of the few companies that hire ex-convicts.
Ah.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. But the problem is, though, they are very – they're unlike most employers, they do a first-come, first-serve thing.
Right.
Which the first – if they got a training class of 10, they will pull the first 10 qualified people.
Ah,
and if
right.
you're number 11 in the pile, you got to reapply. Well, they tell you they only keep them for 90 days, and they only do training classes every 90 days. So I kid you not, every 90 days for the last 2.5 years.
Wow.
Awesome.
So maybe it's finally come to fruition. So, and by the way, guys, we forgot to introduce our special guest host this week. And I feel really kind of sad and stupid and ignorant for not doing that. But Alan, the ethical slut, is back with us. And Alan, what'd you do this week? Most of us know what you did this week. Or should I say where you were this week?
I spent most of this past week up until Thursday in New York City. Actually in New Jersey, because I was in New York City the last 2 weeks, and then I spent the last 3 or 4 days of my trip in New Jersey.
How is Snooki doing?
I didn't see him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know they looked forward to your visit.
I've never seen Jersey Shore to begin with, so asking me the question is kind of a non sequitur. I don't watch TV. I know it sounds odd. I don't watch TV.
You're not missing anything.
I don't watch
although
TV.
Although I did go totally wacko day before yesterday on someone on the phone from New Jersey who was a complete horse's ass, and I finally, after asking him the same thing for the fifth time and having him ignore the fact that the client he was supposed to be working for, who is also my client, was really hurting with an email issue that was causing damage to the school district. The school district client, I just read him out. I mean, I blasted him. I said, you know, I'm not here to screw around and play with your ego. I don't care about your ego. I don't care about your other four districts. I don't care about your unprofessional behavior. Your other 14 districts aren't the one that's on the phone having the problem now. Shut up and deal with the problem now. I don't know where it came from. And all conversations stopped dead, and finally we got the thing resolved. And so I called my sales guy from New Jersey, and I said, I'm so sorry. And he was laughing so hard he could barely breathe. He said, man, that was great. 2 weeks out here, you are full of piss and vinegar. Do that again.
Nice.
Evidently, being in New York for 2 weeks had generated an auto response which was completely appropriate for that area of the country, and I had no idea.
Nice.
Why do I have a feeling you'll be back?
I'll be back. I was going for a client that was actually in New York proper, actually in Queens, and they really, really liked me, like Sally Field. They really like me. And they wanted to come back probably in July or August, so we'll see. I'm looking forward. They were nice to work with. What I found is the people I was working with and talking with in New York have a complete lack of Silicon Valley sense of entitlement.
Yeah.
You're in Silicon Valley, people say, well, I work for blah, blah, blah.com and my shit don't smell. Or, you know, I should be in line ahead of you, or I should, I'm entitled to this because, you know, I work for this guy's going to save the world.
Sounds like mortgage borrowers.
Yeah, pretty much. Worse, much worse. And in New York, it was like, hey, you know, we're here to get the job. Let's get the job done. Let's work together, get the thing that we got work to do. It wasn't about it was about getting the job done. And I really liked that. And I've been working in Silicon Valley so long. I am a computer network engineer, in case anybody listening doesn't know what the hell I do. And I go from site to site to fix computer network problems and virtualization problems and systems issues. And now,
folks, you understand why he's into what he's into, because you got to have something to relieve all that stress.
Oh, my God. You have no idea. that was my big thing. It was a two-week emergency trip to New York for this one client. It turned out really, really nice. So I'm kind of still reacclimating to California. Not the weather. The weather is fabulous, because the weather in the East Coast really sucked. Nice people, but the weather sucked.
So there you go. And Jeff?
Right.
So now that we've gotten caught up, Jeff, how was your week?
I already talked about this week. Well, besides the fact that COL Movies was actually ended up getting censored by the supreme leader of Wadian. So, if you try to listen to that episode, you'll hear a nice intro, you'll hear the music, then you'll hear the disclaimer from that bastard from Wadian, and then you will hear the sound effects of us transitioning between segments and our ending theme.
Okay, so I have to say, now what the hell happened? Maybe I just totally missed this.
I may have missed this too.
The show was censored by the supreme leader of Wadian, Aladdin.
Okay.
The movies we were talking about was Alien, The Dictator, and Safety Not Guaranteed. The Dictator was from Wadian.
Oh no!
Got it.
Jesus Christ!
Actually. So essentially, I had a wrong setting in Skype when we were recording. So nothing actually recorded.
Oh, no.
That's the best. So officially, you now officially have a lost episode of COL Movies.
Oh, I have several lost episodes.
Okay, now hold on. Before we go any further, Jeff, you are recording this.
This was a censored, I say this is a censored one. Don't worry, we're going to take care of this guy from Wadian. The next episode.
But my real question becomes, are we taping?
Yes, we are recording.
Are you recording?
Double check that.
Yeah, he checked it.
I double checked that earlier.
Good.
Yeah, did that earlier.
Now, my real question for you, Jeff, is what's coming up on the next COL Movies?
On the next COL Movies, we're going to take care of that damn guy from Wadian so that we don't get censored again. I should know, I wrote the script. It's June. It's Pride Month.
Yay.
Happy Pride Month, everybody.
Yay.
Which means that all of our past movies are going to be gay. this week, we're going to be taking a look at Sordid Lives. In the present, we'll be taking a look at Men in Black. And in the future, The Apparition.
And in back, Black 3, by the way. Oh,
Trace.
My eyes are still bleeding from Men in Black 2.
What's wrong with Men in Black 2? I love Men in Black 2.
Because I just hate Johnny Knoxville.
Oh.
That's too bad. So that's that. So, what happened this week on Heatsinks, Ben?
This week, I talked about the fuckers at Fuddruckers, of course. For those of you who have not heard about all this, Fuddruckers, let's just say that their safety standards are not the highest. And it's even better when their employees attack you on YouTube. So, so I once again try to reach out to Fuddruckers, and Fuddruckers tells me to fuck off. So I tell them to go fuck off. So no more Fuddruckers for me. We also talk about our next topic, which I'll get to here in a little bit. But Damon. Be strong during this time, buddy. Be strong. And, of course, our power bills in Lubbock will stay the same, at least through the summer. So no $300 and $400 power bills. Thank you, Lubbock City Council, for now. That and much more on this week's Heat Sinks.
Very cool.
Excellent. So not much for feedback. There is some feedback that we're going to be talking about regarding the poll of the week a little bit. But apparently we've got some followers on our new Cubs Out Loud Tumblr blog.
And you can check that out at cubsoutloud.tumblr.com. Want to say hello to Gamer Bear, DJ Yuma, Odads, and is it For Glib? Is that how you would?
Gilb.
Gilb. Glib. 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 He knows who he is. I know what I know what his avatar looks like. So does that count?
Submit.
So there's our first four followers on Tumblr. You can check us out. Please do. And you can submit stuff to us on there. So if you want us to see what you're doing or what you look like or what you'd like to be doing with yourself or with us or with Jared.
Or what you are doing with yourself.
Or with Jared, wherever he's at right now.
So is that the thing? Are we going to mention him in every episode?
Yes, until he winds up. Until he winds
Jared
up.
Jared is our mascot. Texas.
Yes, Jared is our. Jared is the official mascot of Cubs Out Loud. Congratulations, Jared. Lord. Have you ever said? You know who we're talking about, Alan, right? Jovial Cub.
Yep.
Yeah, that's tasty. That makes my poor Sonic Super BLT grilled cheese look pretty sad.
Oh. Yeah, I tell you, he's going to dial my rod, but that's another matter altogether.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what you think, buddy. Jeff will not be the producer next week. Jeff will be in a funeral home somewhere being prepared.
Wow.
Oh, which means we're not going to have anybody recording the show. I'm sorry, folks. This is last Cubs Out Loud.
Way to go, Jared. It's all your fault.
Oh, that's right. I host the website.
Oh,
I have the account that uploads archive.org, but that doesn't mean much since
me and Alan will put our heads together. We'll figure a way to take it all over.
But first, a little bit of kind of CLL news here. A tragic, tragic story.
Yes.
Then you take
so that. Sad.
You know, when I first read this story,
God,
I started actually crying for Damon. It was announced this week that Edward Kill, otherwise known as Trillolo, has had a severe stroke and is in a Moscow hospital with severe brain damage, and he's not expected to make it through the weekend. Damon, I am so sorry for your loss.
We'll be okay.
Damon loves Trollolo may be coming to an end. And by the way, you could see my special tribute, Damon, and Trollolo's love for him on the new episode of Heat Sinks. About 6 minutes in, as a matter of fact. So
wow.
Yeah, so, Damon, I am so sorry that you've lost the love of your life. And rumor has it that the Cincinnati Men's Chorus is going to do a very special tribute to Trollolo featuring Damon.
So. No.
Except the thing is, Damon, you don't know about it yet because it's a surprise.
Oh
my God.
They are rehearsing right now.
So. Once again, if you would like to express your condolences for Damon and Trollolo, you can either go to cubsoutloud.tumblr.com, damonlovestrollolo.tumblr.com, or you can give us a call at 361-COL-TALK. And if you want the special discount, call 363-COL-TALK and get 10% off your cable bill this month. Cablevision of Northern Pennsylvania.
Oh, God. I really don't know.
Offer not available in Northern Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Have so many if you are a listener in Northern Pennsylvania, please give us a call.
I will say, don't cry for me.
Don't cry for me, Mr. Trollolo.
There you go. Truth is, I never loved you. But no, I'm sad because it's always bad when things like that happen to people. You know, comas and things like that and whatnot. It's bad. You know, it sucks. But, you know, if it's his time, it's his time.
And you will go on and you will be a stronger person for it.
Yeah, that. That meant, yes, I will be stronger. What? Never mind. I'm about to do another song title.
Because you're strong enough to live without him?
Exactly. God.
Actually, I didn't really do that, but that was good timing.
Yes, I thought it was.
Oh my God,
Alan, do you have any personal condolences for Damon on the loss of Trollolo?
Not really. I didn't know who Trollolo was until I happened to see that we'd lost Trollolo.
Really, you didn't know the Trollolo thing?
No, no. Go see, but not Trollolo.
Anyways,
wow.
Video.
Wow. I was just going to say, for somebody who works with computers all day, I would have thought Trololo would have come up at least once.
Nope.
Okay.
I mean, I would never have thought that there was a Russian Rickroller.
I never thought of it that way.
Nice. That
is awesome. But I will point out, though, that they did a tribute, they did a memorialized Trololo in an episode of Family Guy.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
That was funny.
All right. So have we finally killed that joke?
Yeah, the joke finally. Is now now Damon Loves Trololo is now officially dead.
Yay! Thank God. Yeah, I don't have like the thing. Anyways,
don't encourage him, Jeff. He might come up with something else.
Oh, don't worry, Robert. You're next.
We got the Robbie Bobbit, but that's another matter altogether. Speaking of dicks.
I am not a dick, and he still has his penis. He's lucky.
I didn't say you were a dick. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think he was going a whole nother direction with that one.
You're implying someone here does not have a penis?
No! that segue didn't work at all. I'm saying we all have penises.
Except for Miss Tammy.
I got your segue.
No, Miss Tammy has right now. I'm just talking about right now.
Oh.
But she's a top. But anyways, speaking of dick, let's talk about using it.
Oh, God.
I'm not the one who came up with this. I'm just doing the transition.
Well, no. Whose idea was this?
This would have been mine.
Okay, well, introduce the topic. Come on.
Yeah, but that's what y'all are here for, too. We have with us, as always, and as glad to have him, Alan, otherwise known as the Ethical Slut, which I just love that title. Because there's just something anticlimactic about that title. I just love it.
Well, it was taken from the book of the same name, which I have no connection with, but it's a wonderful book and I recommend it very highly.
That has actually, you know, I hate to admit, that's been on my reading list for a while and I just have not gotten around to it.
Just think of it this way. This Ethical Slut is a title that multiple people have. Alan is just one of them.
Very true.
Probably one of the stranger ones who have the title, but yes.
Sure.
Actually, I tried to get Ethical Slut on a number of systems I'm on, and there's already an Ethical Slut on Recon. There's already an Ethical Slut on like other systems I'm on, and like so I can't be Ethical Slut there. And there's an Ethical Slut on Gmail, which pisses me off because I wanted that email address.
Why didn't you just buy the domain?
Well, it's a Gmail address.
Well, yeah, but why not just buy the domain Ethical Slut? You could be ethicalslut.com.
I haven't even looked at it. I should look at it. I'm scared to see what happened. Who has it at this point? I'm sure someone's squatting on that domain. I would be surprised if they weren't.
I'm actually looking it up right now, and so far, nothing's pulling up, which could be a good thing.
Let's see what I got. I'm just doing a search on Hover.
Do a who is.
Ethicalslut.com is available for $3,500.
Wow.
Yeah, ethicalslut.co for $30.
Unless you're just really, really good. You get ethicalslut.xxx. You don't want a triple X domain?
that's only $90.
Yeah, see, that's a bargain.
Ethicalslut.tv if you want to do some video.
If I was going to buy Ethical Slut, I would buy it and offer it for free to the authors of the book because they're the ones who did all the work to create the actual term.
I got a perfect one for you.
And if anybody listening has never read the book, it's by Catherine List and Janet Hardy. And I recommend you can buy it on Amazon, whatever. It's a book about how to have an open relationship, although really it's a book about how to have a healthy relationship, polygamous or monogamous. It's a really good book on how to build a framework of trust and understanding. And I recommend it highly. I give it to straight couples when they get married. Even if they're going to be monogamous, because it's so good about how to communicate with your spouse.
And by the way, I guess I was the only one that caught this. And Jeff, you should be ashamed of yourself offering ethicalslut.tv. Right. I start thinking transvestites. I don't think television. Okay.
Well, how about...
Well, I don't watch TV anyway.
So
how about ethicalslut.ws?
Now, that's a lot more appropriate.
Yeah. Wow. You know what? We ought to all pitch in and buy that domain for them.
It's $20.
Oh, see? What a bargain.
Yeah, this is all looking at hover.com.
Well, that would be hilarious. Yeah, you could give that out as your email address on your trick cards. There you go. I know he's getting the thoughts.
I can't believe you're old enough to remember trick cards.
Oh,
I can't,
yeah. Well, they're actually they're making a comeback.
Yeah. Well, I've always had them, and I went to a place called moocards.com, and they're little itty-bitty cards, and they're great. And you can put different pictures on them or the same picture, and you can customize it. It's really very cool. A friend of mine showed them to me, so I made a bunch of trick cards. I've been handing them out to people, and I can always tell when someone is under, like, 35 or 40 because they look and say, what's this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
It's a trick card. What's that? And suddenly I want a walker and an oxygen tank or a wheelchair and to be in an old person. I've entered the universe of the young people.
Alan, I will say this. I am 31 years old and I had trick cards.
Okay, I feel better. So, thank you.
And I'm sorry, I'm 35 and every bear run I've gone to since 1998 – I've either had them or others have had them. I mean, I guess it's more of a thing at big. So I guess I guess our generation's more of a in a big social event setting. I mean, I but then again, we're also the last of a generation that remembers cruising.
Mm. True.
The internet single-handedly destroyed cruising. So.
Yeah. What I have found is that depending how young the guy is who I hand this to, and I am ashamed to say to not bother taking a lot of younger guys seriously because it's just too much work to communicate with them. And younger, like being under about 30, is they look at me and go, well, just text me your phone number, dude.
Yeah.
And I want to text you. I want to fuck you. There's a difference.
Nice.
And it kind of goes awry from there. So I
want to have you in my life for about 90 minutes and no longer. Thank you.
A minute 20.
It's just people don't
hour 20.
People don't use paper anymore. They want to do something else. It's really, really there should be like an app where you could, you know, kind of basically what they need is Bump for trick cards. You basically create a trick card on Bump. You just come up and you bump your phones together to transmit it, and you actually swapped contact information, which can be accessed through your phone. And
we can call it Booty Bump.
There you go,
Alan. You're the IT guy. Run with it. But the real reason for today's conversation. That we totally went off on a tangent there.
I know, right?
Alan had made a very interesting post. I guess that's been, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, something like that? Or hasn't even been that long?
About a week ago. It was about a week ago. It was, I think, Monday or Tuesday night.
And me and Alan had a little conversation about it, and so did a bunch. I think a lot of people got in on... Because I'm sitting here trying to find it again because I accidentally closed the wrong. Yeah, 22 comments. And apparently, the as he put it, hot 29-year-old redhead wanted to play. And by the way, I hate you because he's a redhead. I think I would let all inhibitions go out the door with that because I love me some gingers. Anyways, hot 29-year-old redhead wanted to play until he realized I wouldn't bareback, at which point he suddenly couldn't play tonight and then fell silent. Am I really that out of the loop? Not being willing to bareback, has barebacking really become the apparent norm? And that is what Alan is here for and to discuss with us today. So,
right, and basically, because I am of an older generation, and I can say the words, I'm 51.
39.
I'm 50.
39.
I'm 39 in hex.
Okay, there you go.
There's a cultural gap, much more than generation gap, an entire mindset that seems to have vanished, which is I moved to San Francisco from Chicago in 1981, and I got there just in time for the HIV crisis, the pandemic to hit. And I watched, literally and I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of friends and acquaintances die over the next 25, 30 years. So many, I can't remember their names. Yeah. I can barely remember their faces. And every so often I'll find an old photograph or an old message or a posting of mine from somewhere, and I go, oh, that's right, he's dead too. To the point where when I go out to San Francisco, which I tend not to do because it's like ghosts running around the Castro. I see the ghosts of like 23-year-old guys with walkers, so their hair falling out, which is what happened before we had HIV drugs. And I just, it's very creepy to walk around the Castro. It's like I see dead people. I really do. Or I feel like I see dead people in my head. So what I'm finding is when I go out to San Francisco, people go, oh, Alan, you're alive.
Oh, wow. Oh,
that's... And what now, it sounds snotty, but it's a compliment. It's like, oh my God, I thought you had died with the rest of them. Them right. being the people who died from HIV. And even though I'm negative, it's a little creepy. So that's talking to people who are about my age. People who are younger don't seem to have any concept of how horrible the pandemic was in the 80s and 90s, especially before we had any effective HIV drugs.
Right. And I think the big part of that is, I mean, I look at my son, for example, 19 years old, gay. You know, the thing is, they didn't live through it. They didn't see it. And guess what? There's been medication their entire lives. And really, right. if you think about it, even for like Jeff, and I mean, even to a lesser extent, maybe Robert and Damon and me, but more maybe even for Jeff, medication's been there for the majority of our lives too.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and easy. The thing is, this younger generation seems to think that, oh, well, we catch something, no big deal, we'll get on medication, right. it's okay, or it won't happen to me, and it's not as bad as it used to be. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, you know, and I actually had I have a little regular trick who's 23, who I just, oh, my Lord, I wish I could have this kid permanently. He's that good. But I digress. He actually told me that, you know, he compares it to the flu. And I'm like, how the hell do you compare the flu? He's like, no. Well, in the early part of the 20th century, the flu killed millions.
Well, that's true.
And a part of that was improper sanitation and poor health, health and sanitation, all those things. And he kind of compares it to that. He was like, well, in the 70s and 80s, you know, they didn't have the medications and people were just way too loose and free. And, you know, and I kind of see that perspective. But since I've seen both ends of it, because, mm-hmm, yeah. you know, I mean, I came out at 13 in the fabulously antique year of 1989. You know, I saw the tail end of the first wave, and
right.
you know, we most of us live in that. You know, like I know, Robert, you and me for sure, and Damon, Jeff, maybe or maybe not. It's amazing how much 4 or 5 years difference will make. And I'm actually saying that kind because it's really true. You know, yeah, I've seen it from both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, I think that's the way a lot of this younger generation thinks is, oh, well, there's medication, there's this, there's that, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we're okay.
I think in a lot of ways, there are people nowadays that know, and you know, it is not a death sentence as it once was.
Right.
And although, yes, it is a life altering thing. It'll fuck your life over or affect your life over for the rest of your life. You're going to be dealing with this for the rest of your life. And some people, and I'm not trying not to generalize as much as I can, but some people oftentimes are okay with that.
Yeah.
Like they go, okay, you know, if it happens, there's medication, there's treatment, there's support groups, there's all this stuff now right. that they didn't have back then. And if I get it, I should be okay.
Right.
But, and here comes the but. I don't want to say it's not. I just know that there's a lot of stigma about it. And I'm honestly surprised by that. The guy like going, well, you're not going to come in my ass. Well, I don't want to meet you. I'm a little surprised, but not as surprised.
I'm not surprised at all, honestly. Yeah. There are some people that are that, I'm not going to say shallow, But, you know, let's face facts. I think every single person on this panel can agree right now that bareback sex is a hell of a lot more enjoyable than sex with a condom.
Correct.
Is there anybody that disagrees with that?
It's been so long, I can't remember. God. My last bareback
sex.
That's
not a bad thing, by the way. That's not a bad thing.
No.
My last bareback sex would have had to be something like 1980 or 81.
Oh, wow.
Blondie was on top of the charts that year.
I'm impressed you know that.
Yes, I do.
I'm just going to go ahead. Have I done bareback sex? Yes.
Who hasn't? That's the real question. Who hasn't? Nobody. I don't know anybody who hasn't.
At least once.
Yeah, at least.
I've had my mind just kind of being thrown a little bit, so bear with me. There was a question on, I've mentioned the show before, One Girl, Five Gays. Yeah. And it's something that I listened to it because I listened to what these guys said and realized these guys are like in their 20s.
Right.
And the question was, should like porn have like is bareback porn okay? I forget the actual question.
Yeah.
But, and a lot of them kind of were like, yeah, it is. Because that's not real sex. That's right. Fantasy. That's not what you should be doing. And you shouldn't be learning what you're doing from porn. You shouldn't be learning how to have sex.
Well, you shouldn't be, but let's face facts, though. That's become, I hate to say it, especially with porn, that's become a very mainstream thing now.
Right.
It's, you know, and yeah, it's fantasy, but at the same time, you got to think about it. Those guys are having sex.
Yeah.
On screen. And I think it was, I can't remember who it was I talked to about this a couple weeks ago about the reason I have, I believe that, you know, Bear Films uses predominantly HIV positive individuals. Who was that I talked to about that?
I think that was me.
Yeah, we had this discussion about it because, and I did find out those two are part owners in the company now, by the way.
Hmm.
You know, they have a tendency, not all of them, but the majority of their quote-unquote actors/models are HIV positive. And if you were not, they're not real interested in you.
Hmm. Wow.
And then you have companies like Treasure Island Media, which I have no problem saying I really do like their videos.
Yeah.
But they don't give a damn. They don't give a damn. They don't. You know, and I think that's irresponsible, well, completely irresponsible.
Well,
uh-oh.
I don't mind it, and I agree. I enjoy viewing it, and I think the difference is like what gets you off kind of thing, as opposed to being realistic and responsible. I've not been super awesome about seeing bareback sex, but now that they've kind of come out with these videos more often than not, that's kind of what I tend to lean to,
right,
in regards to viewing. I mean, Harry and Raw, which is, I don't know if it's a subset of Bear Film One, or not Bear Film One, Bear
it's
Films or not.
Bareback. It's bareback Bear Films.
Yeah. You know, and I know for a fact models from there, I've, you know, talked to a few of them. They are HIV positive. A lot of them are. And I go, okay, well, I guess that's okay. But at the same time, even though you shouldn't get, we're going back around the topic, you shouldn't get your ideas and your tactics and things from porn.
Yeah.
But people do. So on a flip side of that, another thing that I tend to have a problem with, I think someone else mentioned it. It might have been Alan, Sero sorting.
Oh God, yeah.
I have several friends who I know are HIV positive. And I actually know a couple that one is positive, one is negative. And I know of others that are have that same thing too. And, you know, it really hurts when I see, because I've seen these people and heard them talk about getting basically slammed or are rejected, outright rejected.
Yeah.
Just because they've been, they are HIV positive. And it honestly breaks my heart.
Well, let me ask you, let me ask you a question though. What do you think is, and I'm going to play devil's advocate on this because I've been in that situation before. You know, I met a guy, this has been a long, long time ago. He was my age. You know, we got to know each other and everything. And about the time we got ready to finally, you know, do what we were going to do, you know, he revealed to me, yeah, I'm HIV positive. I'm like, automatic deal breaker. Okay. Mm. And he was offended and everything else. But you know what? I have to look at it from the perspective of which is more important, a relationship that might only last a week, a month, a couple of years, or my life.
Right.
As an overall concept. You know what? I value my life enough to sit there and say, you know what? There's always that chance.
It's always there.
And I'm not going to sit there and put, you know, another 60 or 70 years of my life in jeopardy for a relationship that may only last a week, a day, a month, a year, a decade.
I understand that, Ben. But you're one of the people that has kind of said, well, don't let your preference become
your prejudice.
A prejudice.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. And I think that's the one area that I'm.
Because I've it's taken me a while. And because I used to have that same feeling. I wouldn't even talk to a person if they specifically mentioned that they're HIV positive in their profile.
I'm not saying, okay, maybe I should clarify. What I'm saying is if somebody's wanting to be in anything more than a friendship, then that's not going to happen simply because of the health concerns alone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you going to hang out with Pete? You know, I mean, it's like, are you going to hang out with somebody? Of course, you know, they got treatments now. But if this was 100 or 200 years ago, was your best friend, were you going to hang out with your best friend who had TB? Probably not, because you knew it, you would probably wind up getting it and dying.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I kind of look at it from the same perspective. There's always a chance. And Alan, I want to get your perspective on it since you're the senior statesman of the group.
Oh my God.
No, I say that because it's experience. And Alan's got a few years on us, and I want to get his perspective on that.
But he's only 39.
I know he is only 39.
Yeah.
And he looks wonderful.
For the 12th time.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. There's actually a phenomenon I was only made aware of a couple, 3 years ago called magnetic couples. A magnetic couple has one positive, one negative. And you know, of course, I'm living in the SF Bay Area, which is a very high concentration, high density of POS guys. And right. I don't know if this is unique to the Bay Area or if the Bay Area, much as say New York, which is another very high density area, is simply a bellwether, a trendsetter or not. But I'm seeing an awful lot of magnetic couples who are very happy and very secure, and they simply play safely with each other and with others. And I have not seen them be any less happy than anybody else who were both guys are positive, both guys are negative.
But do you still think, though, that might be a I don't want to say selfish thing, but would you want to sit there and place the potential? I don't care how safe you play. There's always that potential that something could happen that could cause you to put your life potentially in danger.
I guess my perspective is if you meet somebody and you fall in love with them, nothing else really matters. That's for me. I certainly know that if my husband, Randy, you know, were to die tomorrow, I know there would be a few guys who would be come poking around when it was appropriate, you know, to date me and say, hey, you know, how's it going? And I have feelings for you. And a lot of those guys are paws. And, you know, I even being negative, I probably wouldn't say no, because love is more important to me than almost anything else. And as long as two people love each other and can are willing to deal with the consequences of their decision, I think that's it. And as you said, HIV is not necessarily a death sentence anymore.
But however, there's still other issues that are result from it.
Actually, I would have a harder time probably finding a partner than a lot of other men who are positive, because I have hepatitis C.
Yeah.
And Hep C, I get zero sorted by POS guys. Well, I can't believe you got hepatitis C. You're not DDF. I'm like, wait. You're a gay man with HIV and you're looking for DDF guys?
That's kind of weird.
Yeah. I get it a lot, though. I get a lot of people who won't play with me because I have a Hep C, even though I'm HIV negative. And when they're positive, I feel it's kind of hypocritical, actually. But that's a personal opinion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't see anything wrong with a couple where one person's positive and one person isn't. It's something that, you know, you deal with as you deal with. Yeah. It's a case-by-case basis.
Exactly.
If you love somebody, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like, one of the couples that I know, they've been together, I think, 9 or 10 years now. And you know, I know they're open. I know they play both together and separately. So I sincerely hope that safe play is done, you know, pretty much 100% of the time. You know, when they go away from each other and play, and even when they're together, you know. I've keep going back to this. Meeting them, I've understand why they're together, because they honestly truly love each other, and it's beautiful and sickening at the same time. But
it's only sickening as long as you're single, trust me on this one.
I'm single. So it's still kind of like, you know, oh, that's so sweet. Oh, stop.
Excuse me while I throw up.
Now, there was a couple I knew who used to chew each other's food, and that was sickening.
Oh my god.
Is that where Alicia Silverstone got that from?
I have no idea. But yeah, that was pretty icky.
Yeah, that's a little much. Yeah. Alrighty.
And on that note, yeah. No, but it seems like it's. I've always thought that bareback was let's face facts. It's flat out a preference,
right?
You know, and the thing is, I'm one of these people, and I kind of fall in this weird, because I've seen it from both ends of the spectrum. That do I prefer to play bear? Dear God, yes. With a complete stranger, dear God, no.
Yeah.
You know, there are people like my little 23-year-old cub that comes over. You know what? Me and him have been fucking each other long enough. We don't anymore. And that's simply because I know he doesn't – first of all, he doesn't have time to fuck around. I know his schedule better than anybody, and I'll tell you right now, he doesn't – he just can't. He doesn't have the time. Plus, he still is at home with mommy and daddy, so – well, that's a whole other story for a whole other day. But and like me, you know, he's probably the one person I regularly trick with.
Right.
I mean, every now and then somebody else will pop up, but since Texas Tech is out for the summer, that pretty much leaves me slim pickings. But, you know, I'm one of these – it depends on the circumstances. Now, I've made the mistake when I have been – I've had my couple of scares.
Oh, God.
And the worst one for me was at the very – okay, this was back in – I was living in Dallas. It was 1999, and a guy that I had been introduced to by one of my friends at that time, me and him started sleeping around a lot. He kind of wanted to – he wanted to try the whole – you know, I mean, I've done just about everything once or twice. Some people, and I think, Alan, you'll agree with me, some people you can get into certain scenes with and some people you can't.
True.
And he wanted to be in a certain scene with me, and, you know, I didn't feel it from him at all. I just couldn't. I couldn't do it with him. Some people are like that. And, you know, but me and him were having sex pretty consistently, though, either way. Mm. I mean, I was just, you know, because I told him I can't do this scene with you because it just – me and you don't click for me that way.
Right. Mm.
So instead, we had very rough, almost borderline violent sex at times.
Nice.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it was, I mean, I was slapping him, hitting him, all that's what he liked. So, okay, whatever. Gotcha. I can handle all that. That's no big deal for me.
Right.
I got a call, and then, you know, I stopped seeing him for, you know, whatever reason. I can't remember now why, but I stopped seeing him. And about 2 months after I stopped seeing him, I get a call from the Dallas County Health Department.
Oh.
And I started going through my mind, who all have I been with that this would even be a possibility with? And so I start talking to a couple of other people, and I just happened to be talking to a friend of mine who had also played with this kid. He got a call too.
Mm. Yeah.
So we put two and two together. Mm. And I've since found out, yes, he is the one, blah, blah, blah. But it scared the daylights out of me, because as a general rule, and of course, you know, I have zero medical science to back this up. As a general rule, tops tend not to get it as easy as bottoms.
Right.
I mean, for all the obvious reasons. I mean, is there still a chance? Yeah, but typically if you're top and you're just blowing,
right,
yeah, you know, a little more difficult. I have no scientific basis for this, but obviously if you're a bottom and you're taking it, yeah, I mean, you know, put two and two together on all that one. But I tell you what, it still scared the living shit out of me. And I tell you what, I actually went totally abstinent for like 6 months.
Yeah.
It freaked me out that bad.
I think, I don't know, I know a lot of us have probably had some kind of scare like that in some way, shape, or form. Mine was actually in college. It met a guy, and I didn't get a call or anything. It was the rumor thing,
right?
And ended up having to verify it, but it was like met some guy. Someone told me, oh well, blah 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 blah, he's got this and this and that, and I freaked out like actually. Went back to him instead of like trying to find out, you know, trying to go around it. Actually went to him and asked him specifically. And he goes, right. No, this was a rumor. No, you know, I don't, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, I hate doing this, but can you prove it?
Yeah.
And he, you know, we both went same time, got tested, and you know, it freaked me out up until that point, you know. But I just, it's just those things that happen, and you know, it's going to happen, and you know, it still freaks me out. So these young kids, and I hate saying young kids because I'm like, I'm 32.
These whippersnapping youngsters.
Exactly. and I agree. It's not, and it's also not just young kids. You know,
there's plenty of full grown adults
that also have this, you know, it doesn't matter, blah 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 blah, feeling mentality.
And you know what's funny is I've seen it in two groups of people, and I think, and I bet Alan would probably agree with me being into some of the things he's into, it seems like it's the 18 to about 25 crowd, and it seems to be a lot of the 45-plus crowd.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's really dealing with the kind of like that transition period where people were late into getting into everything, coming out and getting into sex. Yeah. But still, it was during that era of a little bit of that, you know, pandemic scare.
Now, Alan, would you agree with that? Or would you say part of it, too, is it's just a bunch of people who just don't care?
I'm undecided.
I can.
This is yet another gray area.
Yeah.
So I don't have anything to add at this point.
Yeah.
Well, I know my relationship with the disease has been so complicated over my life because of the simple fact I've had some really good friends. And these were friends who I shared more than 10 years of, you know, history with. And he came up positive, and it was devastating because of the simple fact that I knew that with him it was totally preventable. But before that, I guess my first memory of AIDS was probably, you know, God, it could have been not like as early as 84, but probably like 88, you know, 87, 88 with the introduction of AZT. Mm. But the thing is that I had some friends in college who were positive, and, you know, I've, you know, like everybody said, I've had my slip ups. I had a slip up that was, I was exposed to HPV, because I was dating a guy who said to me, you know, look, I have HPV, you know, we need to use condoms. And I was like, okay. And, you know, I kind of didn't understand what that was. I didn't know what HPV was. But the thing is that my own history with the disease is complicated because of the simple fact that I've known what it was, and there have been times that I have absolutely said no way to anybody who was positive. But as I've gotten older, I have to say that I can be friends with somebody who's HIV positive. I can be in an emotional relationship with them. I cannot let them into my bed. And it's not prejudice against them. It's concern more for my own personal health than anything else. And while I've had friends who I love to death and who I've had crushes on and have, you know, wanted to be with, and this one particular friend I had, he was an amazing guy and I loved him to pieces. I could not let him into my bed because I valued my health more than I valued a relationship with him.
Mm.
So it's very complicated for me. Also, you know, back when I read And the Band Played On when I was 18 or 19.
Wow.
And I you know, I was a very aware child.
If you read it at that age, yeah, you definitely were.
I was very aware because the simple fact that I grew up in a house that, you know, I've talked about my family before, Republican, diehard Christian, you know, going to hell. I knew, you know, based on my family's beliefs that I was going to hell. So I figured, you know, might as well educate myself.
If you're going to go out with a bang.
Well, I wasn't. My first sexual experience, I was unsafe because of the simple fact I was 16 and it was my first time, and it was with a guy who it was his first time with a guy. So that was the first time I was unsafe. I've been unsafe probably 6 times in my entire life. And and it's only been the last 2 that were really just on purpose.
And you know, once upon a time, that used to be a good reason, was because, oh, I've never done it. My boyfriend's never done it. I was 16, right. I was 17. By that time, I'd already been around the block a couple times.
Right.
But I started dating this guy who had just turned 16. And
right.
So, you know, me and him, supposedly, we were the only 2 fucking with each other. You know, hell, what horny teenagers do? They fuck like bunnies. You know, we fucked bear because how many, let's face facts, how many 16 or 17 year olds want to go to Walgreens and buy rubbers?
True.
It's not exactly my top priority at that age. Well, after I graduated high school and started tech, he was, you know, he was a year behind me in school, but somebody told me, you're dating such and such, right? Yeah. He drives this kind of car, right? Yeah. He said, well, he's been every day around 12:30, he's been out at one of the cruise spots.
Right.
And come to find out, the school was very close to this cruise spot, and he was going there on his lunch and getting laid by these dirty old – I mean, dirt. When I say dirty old man, I'm talking the old man in the van down by the river.
Oh, God.
Literally. And, you know, that just made me realize that, you know what, even if you're that age, there's no legitimate excuse for it because you're going to be lied – somebody's going to lie to you.
Yeah, no. And with me and this guy – it was, I honestly do believe I was his first guy. I mean, it's, I've talked to his, that's the guy who I basically outed him to his sister.
Oh.
Yeah, in college, years later. But the thing is that I was very sheltered as a kid. And but the thing is, I was also incredibly smart enough, or I was smart enough to realize that there were things out there that were going to kill me if I was not aware of them. And I think because of the way I functioned at that time, trying to learn as much stuff as possible, I just had a tendency to, you know, just be aware of it. And anyway, so I just, you know, my whole thing is I'm not okay with barebacking in my personal life. Porn is different. Porn's a fantasy, but barebacking in my personal life is just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. I'm, you know, I don't really know what else to say.
Yeah. I think we've pretty much killed this topic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think we can all come to the conclusion that, you know, everybody has their preference on it, right, wrong, or indifferent. And right. All we can say is just, you know, try to use your head in making decisions.
Mm-hmm. Make conscientious decisions.
And use the head on your top of your hip, on your shoulders.
Don't have sex impaired. That's another big thing.
Ah.
Don't, you know, because the simple fact that is that with alcohol and pretty much any other drug, it's going to inhibit your ability to make decisions clearly.
Jeff, and Jeff, you're paying attention, right?
What?
You're the vodka.
The only time I drink is when I'm trying to do a podcast.
I wonder why.
Anyway, but the thing is that if you go at it from a sober point of view, you're not going to make bad decisions. And if you make a bad decision while you're sober, you can then deal with it properly. If you go out and get drunk and have sex, have bareback sex while you're drunk, it's a lot more difficult to deal with because your brain is removed out of the situation. You're just simply relying on gut instinct. And that's the one thing everybody needs to know is that if you go to play, play sober. Because playing drunk or playing high is just going to cause that many more problems.
Just say no.
Just say no. Yes to sex, no to drugs.
Pull a Nancy Reagan, yeah.
Well, actually, I will suggest that really good sex is one of the best drugs I've ever had.
Oh, God, oh, yes.
And anything else other than sex pales. That's a drug gets in the way of sex.
Right.
So.
If you need drugs to have good sex, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And actually, especially in the S&M community, there are a number of guys who like partying and playing. And I think a lot of those guys turn pause pretty quickly because they're as you said, Robert, they're partying while they're playing while they're impaired.
Yeah. And it's insane to me. It's absolutely insane. I mean, that's the reason, you know, most of my profiles, I always have the line, drugs are not okay. I have some form of it, but it's in pretty much every single profile I've ever had. And I've had guys accuse me of being, you know, everything from, what was that term? Anyway, the term that they use for women. Well, yeah, Puritan. I've had guys, you know, and I'm like going, no, I will do dirty things to you. I'm not going to do that while impaired. I'm not, because sex is such an amazing thing. I get high off of doing that. If I'm with the right partner, I get high off of doing that. That is the most amazing feeling to me. I have done drugs before, not proud of myself. But the thing is that nothing can compare to doing it and being able to connect with your partner in such a way that you both are there and in the moment. So drugs pale in comparison.
I always find it interesting that whenever I get an IM or a message at like 3 o'clock in the morning and I wake up and it's always somebody who's PNPing. They're tweaked out of their minds, and so right, of course they are, you know, at 3 o'clock is when they want to start playing. Like, no, I'm not available to play at 3 o'clock. You know, take a lot number, wait in line, make a date.
Wait 24 hours.
Or when you get out of rehab.
Call me and get out of rehab. That's pretty much it. And I also have a lot of guys who try to bargain with me. Well, your profile says no poppers, but what if I really need them to get whatever, fisted, fucked, right. whatever it is.
You may have other problems.
What part of no poppers is not clear to you? Well, I've always had used poppers. Well, if you want to play with me, we can certainly try without poppers, but it won't work. I said, well, you never know. Maybe I can guide you through some ways to do this without poppers.
We can do some positive visualization.
Actually, it's usually it's breath work that gets people off of poppers.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I will agree with that.
Especially for ass play, because poppers cuts off the connection between your brain and your butt spasms, and that's why it opens up.
Right. Well, I was going to say something. I've been with a guy who just never – I was with a guy, and he
– Really?
I don't think he had ever – yeah. I don't think he had ever been with somebody who knew about controlling your breathing. And being an asthmatic when I was a kid – it was all about control because I had to keep myself on top of my breathing. I had to make sure that I was breathing okay if I was having an asthma attack and all that kind of stuff. So I'm with this guy and, you know, he ate me out and he goes, God, you're so tight. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I really wasn't, I was into it, but I wasn't really ready. Mm. And he, you know, he started fucking me and he's like, oh my God, you're so tight and all this kind of stuff. And then I just simply took a nice big deep breath and I did the whole body relaxation. And he's like, okay, what the hell happened? And he's like, it went from being like wrapping my fist around my dick to being like, they're still tight, but you've opened up. And I go, yes, that's because I relaxed. No, but yeah, it's exactly. Breathing is one of the biggest things, and I'm so glad to hear you say that, Alan.
If you want to do a follow-up show sometime about breath work and butt sex and ways to avoid bad butt sex, I would be happy to come back and talk about that.
We'll have you back anytime.
Oh, yeah. And not to mention the fact where you're going to attempt to have Alan, Chess, and Miss Tammy back for another BDSM panel.
Yay.
But speaking of bareback sex, that takes us to Jeff in the poll of the week.
Actually, before we go to that, I've been wanting to say something, but I have not been able to get a word in edgewise because we had this whole conversation about AIDS. I'm sorry I have to bring it up now, but I was never able to get in here anywhere to say this. But speaking of AIDS, I recommend that I think that every gay man should watch Long Time Companion that came out in 1989. Yes. Here's the summary from IMDb. It says, perhaps the first film to put a human face on the AIDS epidemic, Longtime Companion follows the lives of a small circle of friends from the first mention of the disease in the New York Times in 1981, first referred to as gay-related immune disorder.
Grid.
We watch the effects.
Grid, or grids, yeah.
Yeah.
We watch the effects of the disease as it devastates the lives of our protagonists. Jumping from Manhattan and Fire Island, vignettes carry us from the it couldn't happen to me mentality of the early days of the disease to the invasive effect it has had on all of our lives today. The title of the film comes from the New York Times refusal to acknowledge homosexual relationships in their obituary section during this period. Instead, survivors were referred to as longtime companions of the disease. This has a 100% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
100% is one of the few movies on Rotten Tomatoes where there's no review that would make it rotten at all.
And as a survivor of that period, I can tell you the movie, which was horribly painful for me to watch. I can't watch it to this day because it was just like what was happening in the real world. It's painfully true.
Yeah, I've got this review last year. It was the seventh movie in my Gay Pride movie challenge. And I have to say it was a very touching movie and shows younger gay folks the harsh realities of the early days of the AIDS epidemic. I have to say I think that every gay man should see this at least once. The performances were spectacular and emotional. I really don't know what more to say about that. Yeah. But so, I mean, my review was basically saying, you know, this 100% Rotten Tomatoes rating? Yeah, there's a reason why it's 100% Rotten Tomatoes rating. I mean,
well, I know when I was in college, I had a human sexuality class and it was taught by a sex therapist. And she was Linda was just amazing. She was not afraid to go to any place that the class wanted to go to. And but the thing is, we were talking about gay issues, and she had a couple of people come in from the San Bernardino Gay Pride Center. And there were three of us in the class who were openly acknowledged gay. We were part of the gay student union on campus. But the thing is that she didn't really have anything to show. And so I suggested to her longtime companion, and we watched it in class. And by the end of the movie, I was just in tears, especially the very last scene on the beach. It was just amazing movie to me. And I, every time it's on TV, I have to stop to watch it. It's one of those movies I have to watch. I think like Jeff said, it's so incredible and it's so amazing to watch, because not only the performances, but also the time capsule it kind of is. And also, I'm that way about And the Band Played On. Have to watch that every time it's on.
I'll have a link to Longtime Companion in the show notes. I think it's streaming on Netflix, but just pop over to CubsEyeLoud.com, click on that link if you would like to purchase it. It's only about $8.99, so I very much appreciate you popping over and purchasing that, and I swear it's worth a buy, not just rental.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, I got that out of the way. Poll of the week. This week is, well, since we've been talking about bareback, bareback? Always, never, depends, or other are the options. Put this up earlier today. Right now we have a four-way tie between all four of those options.
Yikes.
The last one, the other, says, which is kind of a depends, because it's only for hubby or lovers.
All right.
So, hey, if I'm fucking around with people, condoms.
Right.
But for my husband or partner or whatever, no, we're probably going to be playing bareback, man. Yeah, we're going to have hot sex.
You hope.
But last week, we asked you, are you Gold Star gay? Remember, Gold Star gay is basically you've never slept with a woman. Always with.
Now, Alan, had you ever heard that term before today?
I thought it was like, What is it? Blue Star Moms. I had never heard the term before.
That's Blue Star Mom. I have never heard of that before.
I think it's a mother of a veteran, mother of someone who's in battle.
Oh, okay.
So So they're one of their kids is off in the military and active duty.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
No, not even close. And by the let's see if Alan can guess it right. Okay, if a Gold Star gay is a gay man who has never had sex with the opposite sex, what would be a double Gold Star gay?
Never had sex with anyone?
Ooh, so close. Thanks for playing with us. Here's our year's supply of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
Double Gold Star is never came in, never came out. Basically, we're born by C-section.
Yeah. Ah, thank you.
Silver Star is basically you never fucked a woman, but maybe got your dick blown or something. I haven't figured out really quite what Bronze Star is. I forgot what we said was that for.
Everything else.
And then I would definitely I would qualify as a Gold Star, absolutely.
Okay, good. Yay. Yeah, but some people also said that they were an aluminum. I think we mentioned that in the last show. Also, it says it was the 80s. It was Reagan's fault. Had someone say platinum, it says me and my vaginas are like 7-Up in caffeine. Never had it, never will. I think that just means you're either a double Gold Star gay or just a Gold Star gay. I mean, born by C-section. I mean,
now,
that's,
I will admit, no platinum. I might make an exception for Ms. Tammy.
I think we all would.
No,
but
sorry,
she would be one of the few exceptions.
Yeah,
I would.
I'm a bot. I'm a top. She's a top. It doesn't work.
It's not gonna. It works, Jeffrey. It works.
You just have to find the bottom willing
star.
Enough.
There's
a pink star.
Star.
Yeah, oh, somebody was a pink star.
Somebody
I have no idea what
that
means.
One.
Yeah, here's cancer. The thing is, in these type of situations, you know. When you say something that's not one of ours, could you at least leave an explanation?
Yeah,
for those
no
people
kidding.
Have put on aluminum, platinum, pink, or platinum was not too bad. At least you put something in there. Pink star, and this last one, plutonium.
The only has sex with people who are negative, or rather, who are radioactive.
Oh,
holy shit. Could you please go to kubzatla.com, leave a comment right below in the blog, and let us know what that means. I mean, the guy who says it was the 80s, it was Reagan's fault, it just means you're a Bronze Star gay. You slept with a woman. I think Bronze Star, we said was like you did something like you did it once.
And I think
maybe Bronze, like you did it, but you really regretted it.
Yeah, something like that.
And better yet, if you do us one better, call us at 361-COL-TALK and explain yourself so the rest of us can hear it. Not just call us.
Yeah. By the way, we just got a message into our voicemail box. I didn't catch it before the show, so we will play that next week. You know who you are.
Is it Jared?
Maybe.
Don't do this to me.
Well, we're not going to hear until next week anyways. So.
Yeah.
Pink Star means he's only done it with somebody who's had breast cancer.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The way my brain works, I was thinking Pink Star could be Jewish and gay.
That's Pink Triangle, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, no, they did use Pink Stars in certain ghettos.
And here's the thing is with Pink Star, that just means you are Jewish and gay, but did you sleep with a woman or not? I mean, come on.
And was she Jewish or a Gentile?
Oh, wow.
Oh, by the way, we got two more votes for never in our beer back poll. So.
Okay.
So that's the polls of the week. Oh, it's that time again.
Is it?
I'm going to play a little bit to marker this.
Wow. What was
that? I told you I was going to play a little bit.
That was just a little bit. And this week we're going to talk. Okay. We're not.
Oh, no, keep going.
Oh, that's right. He adds this later. But this week's Love on Craigslist, where we bring you the best of internet and lust to you, we're going to start off with our special guest host,
Alan.
Who is frantically working to pull up that. I'll be right back.
Okay, so in the meanwhile, let's go to Robert.
Okay, so this week for me, it's kind of like a buffet, you know, and one, I hate buffets. But no, two, it's just I had like 8 windows open, and I'm like going, okay, I've got to pare this down. Anyway, so I'll let you boys decide. We have horse owners, fantasy come true. You work at a Christian nonprofit bookstore in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, we got our winner.
Okay, right. So.
It's like, let's do that. And then it's the last one. I'm like, no, we got to hear that one.
Okay. You work at a Christian nonprofit in Charlotte. Male for male, 28. Hey, man. We are buds, and I know I'm, let's see, I'll start over. Hey, man, we are buds, and I don't know, but I think you might be willing to do something with a guy. I have been wanting to ask you for how long you might want to try. Okay. one time you told me that if I was gay, that it wouldn't bother you. Also, I have told you about a fetish I have, and you said that it was a little extreme. This is a while we were on a trip with some other people. One time on another trip, you were in a black bikini briefs dancing in our room, LOL. One time I asked you why you wore b-ball shorts under your jeans, and you said because they were nuthuggers. Like b-ball jeans or b-ball shorts or nuthuggers? That's new. If this is you, you will hesitate in responding because we both have to be extra discreet. So I'm hoping you respond. We already know a lot about each other. So if this is you, tell me what my fetish was, I guess would be the best way to make sure.
Wow.
Yeah. Besides all the grammatical errors and the non-punctuation, I read this and it was just like, okay, why not just ask the guy out. Ask him out. You already know all this shit about him. Ask him.
True.
Either he's an attention whore or he wants to ride your dick. One or the other.
I think that would win my looking for highly specific love in all the wrong places award for this week.
But you never know. At the same time, they could wind up together, and next thing you know, they have beautiful Kristen babies everywhere.
No kidding.
Kristen babies.
We have several awards this week from on Craigslist. My first up is the New Kink I Haven't Ever Heard Of Before Award.
Oh, wow.
And if I've never heard of it, trust me, it's unusual. And the headline is Silver Daddy Needed to Blackmail Boy.
Whoa.
What?
So I've had this fantasy of being blackmailed by an old man into giving him pleasure. So I'll come over to your place undressed and have you take a couple of nude pictures of me. After you obtain these pictures, you blackmail me into doing exactly what you want and threaten to make pictures of me nude public and expose me to my work colleagues and general public all over the world.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just totally missed, like, most of that.
Wow. And it goes on in graphic detail that he really wants to be blackmailed into gay sex.
What?
Wow.
So this is for me a new one.
Crazy enough, I've heard of it.
You heard of something I haven't? That says something about both of us. If you know a kink, I don't. He's very afraid.
In all fairness, I do have to, in full disclosure, I do have to say that I ran across it. I used to call phone sex lines a lot. Not the ones that cost, but the free ones that change numbers like every 90 days. And there was a guy. I heard that, Ben.
That was not guy, me.
Oh. That was me.
Oh. Anyway, but this guy, I would hear on this line constantly, he wanted guys to call him, blackmail him, you know, get him to do things, even if they weren't even in the same state or even the same city. He wanted these guys to make him do things, to blackmail him, to humiliate him. And I just always thought, why? Why bother? It's so much work. So I've heard of it.
Oh, so, my God.
Oh, anyway. Okay. I'm done. So, full disclosure.
We have some other awards this week, and these are primarily in the San Francisco Bay Area, because, frankly, I always think that nothing could be stranger than what I find in the Bay Area in Craigslist. But I might be wrong sometimes. This week's Sharing is Caring Award goes to Use My Fleshlight.
Whoa. No.
Is that a question?
I'm looking for a straight, horny dude who wants to fuck my fleshlight while I lick his asshole really good. Oh. If you've ever wanted to try a fleshlight, now is your chance. You can fuck my fleshlight for as long as you want and come as often as you want. I'll just keep my face buried in your ass.
Nice.
Wow.
Again, some of these I am summarizing. We also have the Religious Freedom Award.
Oh, my goodness.
And the headline is Looking to be Bred 666.
What?
In town from this date to that date, being sent by my, and this is capitalized, demonic top to be used. Any satanic tops want to breed this pig's ass in the name of Satan?
What? What?
What?
Jesus, really?
No, not, it's not Jesus. It's the other one, Satan.
Yeah. Listen. Oh, yeah.
We also have a couple of short ones. The Warm Milk But No Cookies Award.
Oh, no. I'm scared.
Stroking at home, looking to suck a guy before bedtime.
Oh.
Hey guys, wow. Masculine Jock here, looking to suck a guy before bed.
That's what I always like to do before bedtime.
He wants a load before he goes to sleep. You know, like I said, warm up the cook. The other one we have is the Room Without a View Award.
Uh-oh.
And the headline says it all. Fun in a storage room.
Oh.
We had one of those last week.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Storage locker? Storage locker sex is,
yep.
Is yeah. Cool.
And it was in Texas.
Imagine that.
No. Oh, there are storage lockers in Texas? Never mind.
Yeah, they're actually air conditioned, too.
Oh, cool. Well, they would have to be. Things would melt in there otherwise. Wait, this, those are my Craigslist stats for the week.
Hey.
Those are the winners.
Wow.
Alan, you just need to come back and just do a whole hour of those.
No kidding. But you know what, though? Even though Alan has come up with some good ones, I think I have the nut job one of the week.
Well, wait.
Oh, okay. What is it? What is it?
Wait.
Hold on. Is yours better than first? And then
I don't think mine's better. But I think Damon's
fixing to explode here.
If yours is the topper, we might as well get past this.
It may not be though.
Well, this one isn't. It's not that great. It's just stupid.
Oh, okay. even better.
I decided to go to Atlanta, so that's where this one's from.
Oh wow.
Title: Distinguished Gentleman.
I feel bad already.
I'm an extremely handsome young man that loves older men, seeking a distinguished gentleman to pamper and mentor me. My drive will drive you crazy. My drive will drive you crazy.
My lack of drive will drive you crazy.
My productivity will be the reason for you interest. And I'm certain you will like the person that I am, but fall in love with the person that I have the potential to be. Looking to meet 2-3 times a week. No, comma, racial hangups, apostrophed. So you shouldn't either. So.
Oh, God.
So I'm a papa's dick. And I would like to make you better by knowing me.
Oh, God. That's somebody trying to be witty.
Ugh, it's not working.
No, it's not. Unfortunately, most people don't know that brevity is the soul of wit. And yes, I've been trying to work that into a conversation for about 10 years now.
You've done it. What's your next goal?
You know, a nice lunch, maybe a margarita. Yeah.
There you go.
We can arrange one. That one definitely is wow. Yeah. Now, mine hails to us from California, the land of dates and nuts.
Oh,
womp, womp.
We're not all nutty.
Okay.
Trust me, it's a land of California and their nuts. I've dated them.
Yeah. See?
The title of this fabulous Craigslist ad: crazy lady at Safeway check stand yelling about candied yams.
Oh, I remember this one.
I was in line at Safeway today, and you were a few check stands over screaming for someone to help you find candied yams. I don't even know what the hell they are, but I was definitely turned on. You, 50s or 60s, crazy as shit, apparently really likes yams. You settled on fresh ones when you realized the store didn't carry them. I want to go pretend to look at onions and stare at you while you picked out a choice yam, but I was too busy. Maybe we can get together sometime and candify them. I'll bring the sugar.
That's actually a repost.
Yeah.
Because I read it last week.
Did you?
Yes. The one I read last week didn't have as much detail.
No, you didn't read that one last week. You read a completely different one.
No, I did. I thought I read something about...
No.
That was really familiar.
No. That was the one that Robert was going to read last week, but he found another one.
Oh, right.
But if it makes you feel any better, I found another one, and this one is out of Kansas City. This one was good. It's short. You put midget porn in my mailbox. Tell me my initials and what part of town. There you go.
Oh, God.
Nothing like, have you
ever... Is there a reason you're calling this a short ad because of the midget thing?
And by the way, I have had the... I don't know if I want to call it the unfortunate privilege, the fortunate privilege, or what. I have actually seen gay midget porn, and it's...
Really?
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
I'm intrigued.
Well,
it was even funnier because I've seen another one, and I've got to find this link again because it's almost it's like a train wreck. You have to stop and watch it. But it's this guy who's like as tall as my son, and this little short dude who's like 3'9".
Oh God!
But guess who's the bottom is?
The top.
Oh my God!
The big tall guy is the bottom.
Actually, I will make a confession. I have a huge crush on an actor named Peter Dinklage, who is in a film.
He's a
who is in a film called The Station Agent. He's got the most incredible dreamy eyes, and he is so totally hot.
There are tumblers devoted to Peter Dinklage.
Is he a Tyrion?
Yeah, he's in Game of Thrones.
No, he's Tyrion Lannister.
Yep.
He's a fairly well-known little person actor.
Oh, he's well-known now. He was well-known beforehand, too, but he's very well-known now, being Tyrion Lannister in Game of Thrones.
He was also in the American remake of Death at a Funeral.
Yeah, he's hot.
Yeah, since you don't watch TV, Alan, he's actually on a show called Game of Thrones. It's about the Song of Fire and Ice books by George R.R. Martin.
Okay.
And he plays Tyrion Lannister. And he's excellent. He's excellent in that
show. I always thought of Tyrion Lannister to look more like a dwarf from World of Warcraft than England. But I do have to say that Peter Dinklage still gets the character out.
Should
be, because I've read two of the books so far. So he does an amazing job, and he's Tyrion Lannister is one of the I have to say the fan favorites of the Song of Ice and Fire books. So yeah, all right.
Wow.
And that is the Fun Pairings List. So, end music here.
Woohoo!
Moving on into the picks.
Oh, yes. I got a couple of winners this week. I've actually already posted these, so some of y'all have already seen these, but I still think they were absolutely hilarious. Both of these are just two random videos, but it just proves my point that absolutely any video, I don't care what it is, if you speed it up just a little bit and throw the Benny Hill theme on it, it's funny.
Uh-huh.
And the first one I've posted is it's actually a PSA that the United Nations put out about the seriousness of the whole landmine situation.
Right.
And needless to say, you see a little girl get blown up on a soccer field and yakety sax ensues.
Oh, my God.
And it's perfect. But the second one, I think, and I will get blasted by anybody who's remotely religious, because a guy that put it together actually took various torture scenes from The Passion of the Christ, sped them up, and put the Benny Hill theme with it.
And
sound effects.
Oh my God.
It's so wrong.
But
it's,
I mean, am I not right? Wrong. Am I not right that the Benny Hill theme makes anything funny?
Well.
I mean, it would make Jaws funny.
That's true.
And in Jeff's eyes, it would have made Dark Shadows funny.
Oh, no.
You know, and that's a strange little off topic for there. I knew a guy in high school who was a dead ringer for Benny Hill.
Wow.
And when I say dead ringer, I mean could it have been his twin brother.
Oh my. But that's you got to admit though, Benny Hill has a very, very lasting effect on people even 40, 50 years later.
Oh yeah, no kidding.
True.
So
Damon.
Okay, so my pick is one of my lovely little list articles from BuzzFeed.
Yeah, back to your traditional stuff.
Yeah, I'm back to my traditional. 48 things that will make you feel old.
And I like the very first one.
Yeah.
Maud Flanders.
Has been dead for 11
really?
Years. Yeah.
Holy shit.
And that's, you know, and that, it's a lot of, there's a lot of different things. Like, basically, it's like, you know, child actors all grown up and,
Ferguson.
Yeah. And, there's that little thing, you know, I think a while back, I did a list of like foods you can never eat again.
Right.
And that's on here. There's a few of those, which, you know, the worst part for me is like kids born in 1995 graduated from high school this year.
Yeah.
Oh, I graduated from high school in 98. So that made me feel a little old.
So I guess I better not say that I graduated in the fabulously antique year 1994.
93 here. And we're not going to ask Alan because we're being considerate.
1995.
Oh, the other one was the Backstreet Boys are 19 years old.
I'll say it, 1979.
Oh.
Oh.
My sister graduated in 81, so.
Okay, so Alan, yeah.
I'm ancient. Sorry.
But he mentioned that year. He mentioned that year, and I started thinking the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, that's the same year I was born.
Oh, God.
Sorry. I was born the year later.
Oh, God.
Things like the Backstreet Boys are 19 years old.
Pepsi Twist. Really?
Yep. Yeah. Think about it this. 1990 was 22 years ago. 1990. Yep.
Floppy disks.
Yeah.
There's I remember the floppy disks.
Yeah. I do too. I remember the Commodore 64.
Yep. I remember having a TI-180.
I had a VIC-20. Damn.
Oh, God.
We had a Beta video recorder.
Ah, I did have
a TRS-80 Model 1.
Oh.
By the way, you know you feel real...
RE-2600?
When you see old Jonathan Lipnicki now, because, God, I want to crawl on top of that boy and do evil things to his body.
Oh, no kidding.
He has turned out... He's one of the few Twinkie-type boys that I would jump on top of and let him do evil things to me.
And apparently him and Mara Wilson are friends on Twitter.
That's great.
top 10 shows 15 years ago. Of course he are.
Yeah.
Nickelodeon's daily schedule, 9 a.m. Rugrats.
But here's the scary one. If The Simpsons actually aged, Maggie would be 24.
Yeah.
Yes.
Friends hasn't had a new episode in 8 years. Good Lord.
Wow. There's a lot of fun little ones here that I'm just like
MySpace.
No. the kid from the Nevermind album. Yeah, I remember them doing that a few years ago.
What Nick Carter looks like now, he looks awful.
Hell. Oh, Aaron Carter doesn't look that much better.
Oh my God, this picture of NSYNC. God, I was so in love with him.
Oh God. Joey Fatone.
Joey.
Yeah.
Although not so hot in that picture.
No, not so much.
No.
God, the Nintendo 64 is 16 years old.
Yeah. Wow.
Good Lord. Harry Potter, the first Harry Potter came out 10 years ago.
Oh.
Has it? Did it?
Yeah. Really?
Oh, my God.
Y'all are not making me feel younger now.
Oh, God.
Well, okay, well, then. But Damon, I got to say, I actually saw the little side thing on BuzzFeed about the 10 decadent foods that will make you salivate, and I just saw this, and I have to mention this real quick: the chocolate pop tart and bacon sandwich.
Oh,
that sounds beautiful. Disgusting. By the way, there's also a six-layer rainbow cake that looks absolutely.
Oh
God, the kid who the played last one, you.
And then the last one, the number 48. Is the Meryl Streep picture.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, yeah. From, I saw that the other day.
What, 30? Oh, yeah, 30 years have passed. And she, I mean, I'm not going to say she doesn't look exactly the same, but she has aged some. she is not Dick Clark. No.
Sorry.
Right. Oh, yeah, the NSYNC hiatus is 10 years old.
God, I can't believe that. I'm serious. Yeah. I went to see them at Texas Stadium twice, and this is the sad part because I always had the backstage passes and meet and greets. Of course, I was like the oldest one at the time, being in my early 20s. And I looked like even in my early 20s, I looked like the creepy old man compared to like the 12 and 13-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Here's what it boiled down to. If you went to an NSYNC concert, you were either a young girl or you were a gay man. That's all there was.
Yeah.
There was no middle ground. You were gay or you were either a gay, a girl, or possibly just a perv.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably what people thought. Like, there's this 20-year-old man hanging around with all these girls backstage at an NSYNC concert.
Oh, he's okay. He's gay. Girl, where's your brother at?
I'm looking at the cast from Dawson's Creek and going, oh my God, I had such a huge crush on James Vanderbeek.
For our lives to be over.
Oh God.
And you know what's really sad is for a while back in there, I guess it was 2003, 2004, they were showing that, like, and I do say chronically, every morning on TNT, and I was actually watching it.
Oh, yeah. My brother has all of the seasons on DVD.
Wow.
I never even remotely wanted it because once it was over, I was like, okay, I'm done with that.
You were ready for your life to be over. So Robert,
problem child.
That's my pick. It was, you know, and everyone look at that list and comment. I mean, I know we get we have a good group of various age guys that listen to the podcast. I mean, honestly,
I want to hear from
How old do you feel right now?
I want to hear from our mascot. I want to see what he has to say. Does anyone know how old he actually is, by the way?
I think
he's in his late 20s.
Hmm.
So he was just a fetus when most of that stuff happened.
Oh, God. Okay, so my pick this week, the top 100 things to do if I ever become an evil overlord. I found this. Somebody posted this list on Reddit to the RPG subreddit, and I just could not stop laughing. It was just, just an amazing, amazing thing. Let's see if all of you will please open your hymnals. Number three, my noble half-brother whose throne I usurped will be killed, not kept anonymously imprisoned in a forgotten cell of my dungeon.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah. Number 10, I will not interrogate my enemies in the inner sanctum. A small hotel well outside my borders will work just as well.
Anything there about making matching uniforms for all of your henchmen?
Yes, I think I skipped over that one. I will hire a talented fashion designer to create original uniforms for my legions of terror, as opposed to some cheap knockoffs that will make them look like Nazi stormtroopers, Roman foot soldiers, or savage Mongol hordes. All were eventually defeated, and I want my troops to have a more positive mindset. I will dress in bright, cheery colors as to throw off my enemies into confusion. I will not turn into a snake. It never helps.
Never. Anything about not having a stupid white cat on your lap you keep stroking like a pussy?
You know, I haven't run across that one yet.
I'm not sure about number 35 here.
35. I will not grow a goatee. In the old days, they made you look diabolic. Now they just make you look disaffected member of Generation X.
Ooh. I don't know about that.
Yeah. Let's see. Once my power is secure, I will destroy all those pesky time travel devices.
I like 46. If an advisor says to me, "My liege, he is but one man. What can one man possibly do?" I will reply this and kill the advisor.
That's one way to handle it.
Before employing any captured artifacts or machinery, I will carefully read the owner's manual.
Nice.
And the thing is that you sit here and you go through each one of these and I go, I know that movie. I know that movie. I know that movie. I watched that movie several times. Whoa. You know, I read that book.
I will never tell the good. It should be something like I will never actually monologue at all. I will just immediately shoot everybody who gets in my way.
When the hero asks me why, I just want to know one thing before I die. Please tell me why I did all this. I'll go and I'll just say no and shoot him. Actually, I'll shoot him and then say no. all the midwives will be banned from the realm. All babies will be delivered at state-approved hospitals. Orphans will be placed in foster homes, not abandoned in the woods to be raised by the creatures of the wild.
Awesome.
let's see. I will not shoot any of my enemies if they are standing in front of a crucial piece of support beam or that to a heavy and dangerous unbalanced structure.
Nice. Yeah.
Finally, to keep my subjects permanently locked in a mindless trance, I will provide each of them with free, unlimited internet access.
Nice.
And there's actually another. It's all total. There's like 256 things because he wrote parts A and part B.
Good God.
And I mean, they are just absolutely hilarious. This needs to be a book with visual aids. Yes. It needs to be a book with visual aids. I would totally buy this.
Hold on. If you put a rubber on it, you won't get visual aids.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. That boy ain't right.
So that was my pick for the week. 100 things to do if I ever I become an evil overlord.
This is kind of awesome.
I know. I have yet to read all of them, but I'm going to at some point.
It'd make great bathroom reading material.
Ben, exactly. Didn't we say that Jovio Cup was the mascot last week?
I don't know.
Yes, it was mentioned in passing.
It was mentioned, but it was never posted, so.
Okay, well, it's official.
Yes. Okay. Jovial Cub is our mascot. Please, can I play under the costume?
His costume is his birthday suit.
That's okay.
If he was in the room with me, he wouldn't have a costume for long.
Yeah.
Oh. I would rip it off of him.
He single-handedly, and we've got to get him on this show.
Naked.
Yeah, preferably naked.
In person, naked here in Austin.
In Lubbock.
Oh, God.
In Austin. Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. I think I'm probably the only one that just wants to cuddle with him.
He is. He looks very cuddly.
Yes, but I
would cuddle with him.
Yeah, I would too. Well,
and I'm talking cuddle. I'm not talking sex.
Yeah, but see, he made a point earlier saying that he was looking for a different. Say, Jeff, I think me and you, though, are possibly automatically disqualified because he made a posting earlier this morning that he was looking for a dick warmer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think Robert's the only
one that's... He was looking for a cock cozy or a cock snuggie.
And I think Robert's the only one that qualifies.
He's looking for a husband.
Yeah, we know this.
Cock snuggie as the alternative version of husband because some people apparently are offended by that. But that's another topic for another week.
Thank God.
This is the end of the show.
2 hours later.
If you have anything to tell us, there's plenty of ways to contact us. Just pop it over to our website, cubsoutloud.com. Leave it a comment on the blog. Please tell us, what the hell does a plutonium star mean?
Please.
Just email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Leave the voicemail, just like the mysterious person that left a voicemail about like 5 hours ago, which I didn't get before the show. At 361-265-8255. That's 361-COL-TALK.
Not to be confused with
Cabletown, whatever, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Cablevision of Northern Pennsylvania.
That's not my joke.
Yeah.
Stay away from that. Because I just want to move on to Twitter, twitter.com/CubsOutLoud. Facebook.com/CubsOutLoud. Google+@G+.2/CubsOutLoud. Follow us on Tumblr at CubsOutLoud.tumblr.com. Please pop over to Bruiser. You can find us all. I'm under there as Box Puppy. We got Tat Dude. We got Mr. Robbie Bobbitt. I mean, Robbie Bobby.
Same difference.
Get it out, Jeff.
And, of course, the ethical slut all on there. I love saying that. Ethical slut.
And Damon Theater Cup.
Yeah. Ethical slut. That sounds better.
I didn't say everybody's full names on there. I just... You know, just rambling stuff off to search for. Please pop over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. We will read it on the show no matter what you put in there.
Yeah.
As I said, I even read the dead baby joke. Thanks, Jared. Still, I would still like
read
to
more dead baby jokes. Head. We want Jeff to read more dead baby jokes.
Thanks. Anyways, where else can they find you guys?
They can find me, as of now, officially, everywhere on the internet except for Adam Fradham, as TatDude806. Be sure to check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/TatDude806. New heat sinks every Wednesday.
Yay. Promise?
I promise. I might even bitch about Jared this week.
Oh.
Let me find out you're going to Austin.
About Jared.
If I find out he goes to Austin, I'm going to bitch. Why don't we all meet in a neutral location like Dallas?
So
I have offered my patio in California.
See, there we go. Let's go see Alan.
The five of us and a crazed eating desert tortoise because it's summertime and he has to eat.
And Jared.
And Jared.
And Jared.
Which I think we will all be eating his ass.
Oh my God. Jared, I hope to God that you are like not so like you're okay with all of this.
And if not, oh well.
You basically have three men creaming themselves over you.
Four men.
Four.
You got at least four men here. Ed Robbie that Robin. That are like one of the hottest Cubs ever is Jared. So I mean, we all mean this because
we all,
you're so hot, we want to all sexually molest you.
I think we already have been.
But Damon. Damon, how can they find you?
I am TheaterCub79 on Bear401, our bruiser, obviously. So that's the best way to contact me. I'm maybe getting more ways soon. I'm thinking about Tumblr. I haven't about made a definite. I haven't made a definite decision, but
it's like the porn capital of the internet.
I still haven't said my Tumblr, but that's beside the point.
Robbie.
You can find me as Robbie Bobby on Bear Forum 1 and on Bruiser, Robert J 1975 on Le Twitter, and nomander.wordpress.com. The link is in the show notes, and so is my other one about me page. Listen, I get shit from Ben every time I say it, so you can find it on the show notes.
There you go.
It's just long.
Yeah, like I said, Robert Jones is already taken.
By the way, just do have to mention, I've been listening to our sister podcast / radio show, the Cubby House Project, down in Melbourne, and I realized that Twitter is not Twitter in Australia; it's Twitter.
Twitter.
So, by the way,
yes,
Cubby House Project, you never call me anymore.
Oh,
you never call, you never write.
Kevin? I know you're busy actually doing a show weekly and actually having it on the air and everything and being smart and highly produced.
Hey, but aren't we like the longest running Bear podcast though?
Oh, hell no.
Okay.
Bear podcast has beat us out long.
Well, yeah. That. I'm just trying to make you feel better. I'm trying to
also E-Talk had 200 episodes. We haven't hit that yet.
We're getting there.
I believe we are still beating out everybody else, though.
So we're like the third?
I think we're probably third place, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, we had that nice long year-long hiatus, too.
Yeah. So we got to make up for... so does that mean we're going to have to start doing two episodes a week to catch up?
No.
God, please, no. No. I get enough of you guys one day a week.
I know, right?
But you're the most fun podcast I've ever been on. That counts for something, doesn't it?
Of course,
yeah, of course it does.
Alan is going to become our regular contributor.
Yeah. By the way, one other thing is, if you want to participate with Cubs Out Loud, and I mean not just like calls in and comment and everything, if you want to be a guest blogger and just throw some nice information up on our website, if you want to participate by submitting pictures to or anything to cubsoutloud.com, you can do that. Shoot us an email. Let us know if you want to be on the show.
But you've got to have a good topic. You have to be exciting because we don't want dull, stiff people.
And cute.
I take that back. We do want stiff people, but we don't want you to be dull.
Thank you for cleaning that up, Ben.
No, you want people with stiff parts.
Yes, there you go. Specifically Jared.
I think Jared's actually the one who made a joke last night about, because I said I was so bored, I was actually considering getting on Skype.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he's like, bored, stiff. I'm like, no, just bored.
For him, I'd be bored, stiff.
Anyway.
God.
So, Jared is getting our shout outs tonight.
Jared, we'll talk about you next week.
Oh, yeah.
We say goodnight, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.